Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online every Wednesday evening.
Wow.
Or I try to get it out every Wednesday evening.
Yeah, do it.
It happens. Okay. Eventually.
Okay.
I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games.
Yes.
And we collect video games.
Yep.
Sometimes we play video games.
Yes.
Sometimes we complete video games.
Yeah.
We like video games.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to talk about video games in a non-visual medium. So welcome to Game Changers once more.
Yeah.
What have you been playing over the last week?
More games than you.
No, I know you play more games than me.
Yeah, well, I've been, like, a lot.
I know you've been playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You got some good choices for us?
Well, yeah, but I'm like, should I tell you, like... I've been playing more games than you have.
I know you have.
I'm just saying that I have, like, three things. You have one. You should start with your one.
I'll start with my one, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for those who did not know, it was Undertale, wildly popular game Undertale's 6th anniversary last week on the 15th. That would have been the same day that we went up. And that very day, Toby Fox, creator of Undertale and Deltarune, announced the second chapter of Deltarune to be released 2 days later. And I got it. And I played it. And I very, very, very much enjoyed it. And I recommend everybody go and take a look at that game because it is also free, which is very, very cool. So, Deltarune, for those who don't know, is the spiritual successor to Undertale. And it is a RPG in the style of Final Fantasy in the way that Undertale was in the style of Mother or Earthbound.
You're going to have to be way more specific with your Final Fantasies. Because at this point...
It's more of the early generation Nintendo, Super Nintendo era Final Fantasies. It's a top-down RPG.
Yeah, but not the battle. The battle is sideways.
The battle is still a turn-based sort of situation.
Yeah, but it's not top-down.
Battle. No, but the map, walking map style is a top-down. And you don't have the random encounters of Undertale. You can actually visually see and interact with your enemies before you go into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, as with Undertale, the gameplay of Deltarune gives you the option of fighting and winning battles and leveling up, or you can spare your enemies and have a peaceful resolution. It's a slightly more challenging way of doing it, but it's definitely... You get different results at the end of the game depending on what you choose to do.
Yeah.
The music in this is absolutely fantastic as well. Toby Fox is a very good video game composer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... I've been listening to the soundtrack all day today because they're so catchy. The music is just so, so catchy. And you can also go and find the album on Bandcamp if you want to go and check this out because it is well worth a checkout. So, the story... Do you remember the story of Deltarune?
Yeah.
Okay, so the story of Deltarune, it's in a complete... Well, it's in a different world from Undertale. You play as Chris, a human teenager in a world populated by monsters. You and your friend Susie end up going to the Dark World and end up encountering enemies and friends there. That's the whole premise, is you end up in this opposite sort of world, and you go to recruit people for your castle town from Chapter 1. So it's a fairly straightforward sort of story. You go explore, find treasure, meet friends. And you have two new characters, Noelle and Birdly. We met them in the first chapter as well, just as NPCs, but now they have a much bigger role. Birdly is a know-it-all, and he is an antagonist. But, yeah, you have to play the game to find out. And Noelle, you eventually get her to join your party as well, as an ice-type fighter. It's very, very cool. I don't want to say too much, because there is a lot of... There's a lot of humor, and I don't want to give away too much of the story. It is not a long game. You can get this out in a day. It's only a few hours long. But it is, again, still free. It's available on PC. It's available on Steam and itch.io. It did crash, though. So a lot of people went on for the download. You told me that it did crash the next day. So I'm very glad that I got it on the Friday when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fine now.
Yeah, it's fine now. But it is an extremely popular game. I'm going to go back and play it because I want to see if there is other things I can go and find. Other characters to go and see.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for the next chapters to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tell me what you have played.
Oh, that's it, Megan? That's the only game that you played?
I'm going to start more games. I was going to start Final Fantasy, but it ended up taking a long time to download.
Okay. I'll take it from here, Megan.
I will quiz you on the stuff that you do.
I've been going through a bunch of games, and I continuously have been playing Overwatch. It's kind of just one of those mindless games that I enjoy playing. I don't play for hardcoreness. I just play because I'm like, wee, fun. I play Mystery Heroes because I find that's like the extremely most mindless. I don't have to choose a character. People can't yell at me if I'm a character because it's random.
It's how you get good at the other characters, too. I do like Mystery Heroes as well.
It helps me, enjoy different characters or characters that I wouldn't make myself play. I still haven't gone back to Psychonauts. I'm going to do that. I'm going to play it again. That's my plan.
That's fair, because it's such a good, good game.
Yeah, but other games that one that I played and beat, and I have mixed feelings about this game. Like, I think aesthetically, visually, this game is awesome. Gameplay-wise, I don't know. It's a fetch quest game, and that's how it felt in the end. It's called Calico. It's quite cute. I believe this game was Kickstarted as well, so there is the potential that, you know, if they had more money, whatever, time, etc., it could have been a more polished game. But what it is basically you're on this cute little island populated by cute sort of, like, magical girls. Like, there's magic and stuff. And you're to run the abandoned cat cafe and get it up and running again. And basically what it is you run around and there's just animals around and you can pick them up and you can either tell them to go to the cafe, follow you, or be free sort of thing.
I love you. Be free.
Yeah, it's really cute. And that's the thing. This game relies, I think, heavily on the cute aspect because otherwise there's not, like, decorated my cat cafe, because there's sort of like, I guess, a decorating aspect to it. It's not that fun. Like, it's okay. I just find it's unnecessarily difficult for that kind of thing. Oh. One thing I did kind of like was there's like a mini game where you get to make food. And the mini game is basically you have a bunch of ingredients and then you pick up the ones that you're supposed to put in a bowl. But it's kind of cute. Because you're, like, tiny and the bowl, you know, everything's big. It's, like, something that I mindlessly enjoyed. It wasn't the most, once again, like, high, like, it's...
It's not a highfalutin game?
No, it's not. It is a little chill game. Like, one thing that was kind of funny, or when, you know, eventually you can ride animals, so you can, like, make little cats big and, like, ride them. So I rode in this cat named Pudgems for a long time.
That's a pretty good name for a cat.
There's some pretty good names of animals in this, that are just generic, but, you know, some of them aren't named. Like, some of them are, like, White Deer. Some of them are, like, Snow Fox or something.
So it's, like, a random generated name sometimes?
No. Some certain animals are named. Like, there's Miss Kitty, there's Rusty, there's... Boots, the dog. Some of them are just not named. You can rename things. You can change names. There's a lot of, like, animals. Like, one thing that I think that would have been kind of neat is if they added some kind of cute... a turtle or something. They had no lizard or, like... That kind of, and I get it. Maybe they're not the cutest, but there's like crows and pigeons and raccoons that I can put in my cafe, which aren't like the most, like, not necessarily what people go to. I could also have like polar bear, which is also not the most.
I would love to have a snake cafe.
Yeah, anyway. The animals are very cute. It's very cute. It's kind of like... There's no substance, though. Like, it's just cute looking.
Cute for the sake of cute?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, and I'm not saying I hate it, but it was just a giant fetch quest.
Is there a story?
Your story is that you're trying to make the cat cafe better.
So there's no... Oh, that's where the lack of substance kind of comes in, then?
There's things like there's little hardcore glitch sort of things.
Oh.
The geometry and the physics are a little wonky. Like, at some point, because you can have up to 5 animals following you around, which I like to have a horde of whatever.
Yeah, fair.
And it kind of made me laugh to have, like, I had, like, a raccoon and, like, a pigeon and a horse and, I forget, maybe a dog and a giant cat that I was, you know, and I turned the cat purple and I made my horse sparkly. So, like, there's cute little things to it, but this feels like it could have easily been a mobile game or something.
Ah, yeah.
And it's just, I think it's a matter of, like, they maybe ran out of money and time. This is a Kickstarter game. This is not, like, a big budget whatever. So I'm not going to be that hard on it. But there are things about it that I'm like, this could have been way more polished. But it's cute. It was cute. That's my takeaway.
Okay, so it's a light game.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just fluff. And that's fine. Like, if you're interested in that, that's fine. It was cute. I played it till I didn't do every task or whatever, but I got to the end credits and I was like, that's enough for me.
You did it. You beat the game.
I beat the game, basically. Once again, the designs are very cute. All the characters are very cute designs. I like those a lot. The animals, like, there's a ridiculous variety. There's, like, a big ferret at some point, a big corgi. There's just like a kind of a very cute variety. Lots of cats, obviously, lots of different dogs that are just roaming around. Capybaras, there's a bunch of capybaras.
That's all my cafe would be, is nothing but capybaras.
Technically, the capybaras, like, they belong to someone, but you can just take any animal and put them anywhere. It doesn't matter.
No, these are mine now.
Yeah, like, they're very... They all, and obviously, those ones, I think one's name is Cappy, one's name is Friendo. I forget what the other one... Yeah, once again, some of the names are very...
Like a No Country for Old Men sort of situation.
Yeah, Friendo. It's cute. Yeah, that's it's cute.
Okay.
And then the other one... Did I talk... I talked about the Complex, right? So I've been on a full movie video game.
We touched on it last week.
And I think I said it was fine. So this week I played Erica, which is another one of these games.
Okay, I did watch you play Erica.
Yeah.
And
it's fine. I don't know how I feel about these games. At some point, like, on one hand, I like this idea because I enjoy movies. I like watching movies. I even like watching bad movies.
Right.
Because I find... And I think the aspect of controlling parts of a movie or whatever, very cool. That's neat. To be honest, Erica, there are things about it that impressed me that I liked better than The Complex, which The Complex was very binary. / sometimes I got a third option. I guess the fourth option was silence. But The Complex usually was like I could choose one thing or the other. In Erica, there's actually a level of interactivity, which I liked. Like, for example, I could turn on the lighter, like, with a mouse flick sort of thing.
So the graphics of Erica were very cool. I really like them.
They're just a movie, man.
Well, no, but there's, like, some aspects that look very stop motion-y that I could appreciate.
Yeah, so anything that's sort of, like, you have an interactive aspect to it. It does feel like, yeah, there's some stop motion aspect to it, which I think fit in pretty neat. It also is a sort of clear indication that, you know, you are in control or you have to do something. Obviously, there's choices that you make that are just like, well, choice, you are given like verbal choices, right, like of what your character is supposed to say. So this story begins, I'll say in the past, you're hanging out with your dad. You're the kid, Erica. Your dad is telling you about, I don't know, something. Oh, he's talking to you about oracles in Delphi, so Greece.
Okay.
And just sort of about that. He's talking about that, insinuating things. And then I think there's sort of a flash and you find your dad ends up dead or someone shoots your dad and he's a big gash on his chest that's the symbol of Delphi. And then you wake up and you're like, I couldn't tell the age of this person, because she acted like she was young, but she acted like she was in her early teens. But just by given whatever, it felt like she was older.
An ambiguous age of sorts.
Yeah. And to be honest, Erica herself isn't that interesting of a character. Now, granted, that's because she's a stand-in for the audience, and I understand that. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't have to be interesting.
Yeah, that's... That is a big fault when you have a stand-in character.
Yeah. And... Like, granted, I don't want options where it's like, you know, I say hello, and then the option is my character says it like, oh, hello. You know, like, yeah, something, like, no, extremely sarcastically. So there's an amount that I appreciate that it follows with what I actually want, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be just, she was a little bland. Basically, the story is that I think she's, like, seen, or people are getting murdered with this wacky symbol, and there's some cult. It always has to go, like, cult.
Is a bit of a scapegoat? Well, of sort, or just I don't an easy option?
It is an easy option. Like, granted, I feel that this game is one of those where it wants you to play it more than once. Now, I know this for sure because I got a very bad ending. I was like, I'm not going to shoot anyone because that's what you're supposed to do. This game has really instructed me that that's probably, you know, not really the good option, or even this movie or whatever.
This playable choose-your-own-adventure movie. Yeah,
it's fine. Anyway, and then we just watched what the actual ending was. And there are things that I feel like I guess it would be explained with another playthrough and doing different routes. But I'm not that invested in watching, like, a 3-hour movie over and over again to slightly change its outcomes.
Yeah, it's got to be better written. Yeah. Have a more unique story.
Yeah, like, the story was something that I was like, I caught on very quick about what was being used to do stuff. Like, it wasn't, and you know at the end when they're like, oh, all these revelations, I was like, it's not that, I figured that out 5 seconds ago. Like, all right, well, I figured that out when I saw the thing that was the, what, you know, like,
yeah.
Chekhov's gun, is that the word? The thing, no, maybe not, I don't remember, I don't know what that is, but it was the thing that it was like, this is going to be important, this is the whole reason why. Let's look at it up close 4 times. You know, I was like, duh. Perfume. That, like, it just, there's things about it, the story that was very predictable. So I'm like, I don't care about how the other endings are.
Yeah.
Things I liked were that it was interactable. I liked the high level of certain things that I could touch and open or move or flip. I liked that. I thought it was neat. But... yeah, this one I feel I got a little more value of. The thing is, like, I feel I would play the complex again before I play Erica, just because I feel even I enjoyed the story of that one better.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, it was fine. Like, it wasn't the best story, but it was at least, like, the characters at least had a little bit more to it. It was a little,
more enjoyable in terms of people and stuff. Even, like, what was going on, even though it was sort of like, I get what's going on.
What if it were a point and click in the style of Erica or Complex? Would you think that'd be a possibility?
Yeah, see, I feel that that is a possibility. I think it would just take a lot of work. I think because, you know, it's something like you would film it and then you would cut it out and then make it into graphics or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which isn't, yes, but I just think, yeah. I point and click would probably be more enjoyable, like a higher level of interactivity. Even things like that gives you insight to your character, right? Like if they talk, like how they talk about objects, how they talk about items. Like a good one, for example, is Guybrush Threepwood.
I was thinking exactly that. Like, he's given a personality.
And like he hates porcelain. And so if you click on porcelain objects, he like, you know, like you can tell what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he acts, like his little, his quirky weirdness. Yeah.
So, Erica was fine. It looked cool.
Yeah, I don't even know. Even the visuals were kind of like, whatever. They felt like they were there for cool sake. Like, it, just to be cool, not to make sense of anything. Like, not visually important, just there because they're like, yeah, red light, red and light, blue lights, pretty cool. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, once again, it was fine.
That's it.
Yes. And then I beat Sam and Max Hit the Road.
How are our Sam and Max games?
They're so good. They're so funny. They're like, it's like, granted, I feel that there are parts of it that haven't aged well, like, i.e., like, racism, stuff like that. And it's just that is a unfortunate, like, dated, like, poor references or whatever. Like, things that just aren't, like, things that people thought were funny because people, I don't know. Well, not everybody thought was funny. People thought that things were acceptable.
Yeah.
That's probably more.
Now, is this one of the older Sam and Max games?
Yeah, this is the one that's the point-and-click pixel style.
Okay,
LucasArts. Yeah. It's very cute. It, like, obviously, there's some parts that I'm just... or character designs that I'm sort of like,
But we do actually have access to the Sam and Max Telltale games.
Yeah, those ones are also really, like, I've heard lots of good things. So this is obviously, you know, Telltale would have taken direct inspiration by this because they love LucasArts. But Sam and Max Hit the Road is basically, like, Sam and Max are a, so Sam is a dog and Max is a rabbit who doesn't wear clothes, whereas Max does. I never understood, but I felt it was just a choice.
Roger Rabbit rules.
Roger Rabbit has, he wears outfit, Megan.
Yeah, but it's sort of like you don't have to do the thing if it's funny.
I guess so. Granted, I feel it more is based on the fact that this is like a wacky world. Like, they, you know, Sam and Max aren't, they're not called out on the fact that they're like these anthropomorphic creatures. They're Sam and Max, they're called freelance police. Basically, they're just private investigators.
Okay.
Like, I think it's just a fancy term. And what happens in this is that they are asked to go find these Bigfoots that have been just sort of been missing. One, like, prize possessions from the circus, or one in particular.
Okay.
So it's about that. And obviously it has a lot of point and click. It's very funny. It's fully voiced, which is really nice, by the people. There's a Sam and Max cartoon as well, from the 90s. I would assume the Telltale game utilizes the same voice because they're pretty iconic voices.
I can almost hear them. I didn't have access to the cartoon as a kid, so.
I didn't always, and I think it confused me. Or there's parts of it that were maybe, like, too old for me kind of thing because Sam and Max does have a lot of, like, quote-unquote adult humor.
Okay.
And just even things that, like, Max says. Like, Max is, he's kind of nuts. He's kind of,
He's got fangs. He's a rabbit with fangs.
Yeah, he's, but, and the thing, like, Max is a usable item in this game.
Oh, perfect.
Like, yeah, you can use Max to, like, grab things or smack things or...
okay,
it,
yeah.
It's just very... It's very funny. It's quirky. In this game, a lot, and I don't know about the Telltale games, but it's because... LucasArts, obviously, is owned or had Star Wars and... not Tomb Raider... Indiana Jones, right?
Right.
They had previously done games for both of those. Obviously, LucasArts is George Lucas, and he owns Star Wars or whatever.
Right.
He did Star Wars. I don't know. Regardless, they have very specific, like, references to those.
Because they're allowed.
Because they're super allowed, and it's very funny. It's cute because even, like... You know, there's that Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, like, little hologram situation.
Right.
And Max says something like, it's like, that was gratuitous. You know, and it's just yeah. like, it's very funny because it knows exactly what it's doing. The writing is very funny. It's cute. It's quirky. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Still worth a checkout?
Yeah, I highly recommend it, especially if you like old point-and-click games. The pixel art's really beautiful. It's good. It's funny. It's a funny game.
I'll check out the Telltale side because I know we do have it on our systems.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's everything we have for you for this week. That's a bunch of games to go and check out. And you know what? Keep changing.
Bye.